Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'm going to invite you to open them with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for the precious word of God, that which is forever settled in heaven. We know this earth shall pass away, and all the works that are therein will be burned up, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And we thank you that you have given us your word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we pray that each day we might consider it as the bread that sustains us spiritually. And we pray even in this time tonight that you'll help us to understand the things that you have for us here. And this is our prayer in the name of our Savior. Amen. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1, we read, "The same day went Jesus out of the house." The house that he's referring to is the house of Israel. The Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Lord Jesus told the Jews, "Your house is left unto you desolate." The house there in Matthew 13 and verse 1 is the house of Israel. The Lord Jesus was rejected by Israel, by his kinsmen, according to the flesh. So what we see him doing, if we back up just a few verses into chapter 12 and verse 46, we see him establishing a new family. A family of faith. In chapter 12 and verse 46, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak unto him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." This was the day that the Lord Jesus went out of the house. He went out of the house of Israel because he was rejected by his kinsmen according to the flesh. And he is now establishing a new family, the family of faith. And we'll see this if you'll turn just for a moment over to Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul takes up this subject when he says in verse 6, "They are not all Israel which are of Israel." In Romans chapter 9. And then when you come down to verse 25, he says, "I will call them my people, which are not my people." The apostle here is quoting from the prophet Hosea. "I will call them my people, which are not my people." That's what the Lord Jesus was expressing when he stretched forth his hand and he said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." He was calling them his people, which were not his people. And in Romans chapter 9 and verse 30, Paul says, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law. And they stumbled at that stumbling stone." The Jewish nation were trying to establish their righteousness according to the law. And the Gentiles were following after the righteousness which is of faith. Israel, as a nation, did not go that way. They chose the law of righteousness, and they did not attain to the law of righteousness. Jesus went out of the house. That's talking about the house of Israel there in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. And as we saw in verses 46 through 50, he's establishing a new family, the family of faith. And the house of Israel is like the man, also in chapter 12, out of whom the unclean spirit had gone. You see that in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And notice what the Lord Jesus said then. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. This house of Israel, that's like the man out of whom the unclean spirit had gone. The Lord didn't cast that demon out of that man. The disciples didn't cast that unclean spirit out. The demon left. He walked out. When the unclean spirit of a man is gone out of a man. But he came back and he found an empty house. That was the nation of Israel. That was the house of Israel that we read about in Romans chapter 9. The nation of Israel was an empty house because the Lord Jesus went out of the house. Notice also in Matthew chapter 11, go back just a chapter, and verse 20. Then began he, the Lord Jesus, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. You see, the house of Israel was empty. It was swept. It was garnished. And this became a focal point in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It became a turning point in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He turned from the nation of Israel. It's no more about a kingdom. He had offered that kingdom, and that kingdom was rejected. And now he begins by these parables of Matthew chapter 13, which teach us that there's going to be an interval between his first and second coming. There's going to be an interval in which a mystery form of the kingdom is going to be established, which is now going to be the church. Believers are going to be citizens of that kingdom which is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. They had rejected their king. So now the Lord Jesus Christ comes to a turning point. He went out of the house, it says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. He went out of the house of Israel. And what did he do? He sat by the seaside. The sea in the Bible speaks of the Gentile nations. The Gentile nations. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Notice the word sat. That speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is resting. He's sitting. Sitting in the Bible speaks of rest. And the Lord Jesus finished his work on this earth. And he is seated in heaven. And the whole multitude, they're not resting. They're standing. That's where we see the Lord Jesus now. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. In Colossians, we read, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is resting. But the great multitudes by the seaside, the Gentile nations, they're not resting. The whole multitude stood on the shore. And the Bible says that the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. The Gentile nations today, they're troubled. They're like the troubled sea. There's no rest. There's only mire and dirt. And it says also in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 2 that the Lord Jesus went into a ship. That speaks of the local church. If you've listened to Pastor Kelly's preaching on Bible symbolism, you know that when you read about the ship in the Word of God, you're seeing a symbol of the local church. And in verse 3 it says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Parables are, they've been called an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable means to lay something alongside of something else. It's a comparison between something that is material and something that is spiritual. And why did the Lord Jesus teach in parables? He did it to hide truth. The Lord Jesus hides truth. Truth is only revealed to the humble. He wanted to hide his truth from those who don't want to believe him. So he spoke in parables. Those who don't have a heart for the truth, those who won't put forth the effort to understand a parable, it's designed to hide truth for them because parables require some thought. And those who try to use their own thinking and they don't want to seek God's help, they won't understand truth. They won't understand the Bible. They won't understand parables. The Bible says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Evil men understand not, but they that seek the Lord understand. God will hide his truth. That's what he said right here in Matthew chapter 13. When his disciples asked him, why do you speak in parables? He said, because it is not given unto them to know the mysteries. I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And that's a fulfillment of Isaiah the prophet. And their heart is waxed gross, and they've closed their ears. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 7, the legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. A lame person can't walk and can't do many things properly. And so the lost, fools, they can't understand parables, not properly. The spiritually lame can't walk with God because they can't understand God. The Lord Jesus said, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. This parable of the sower, it's about sowing the word of God. In Luke's gospel, it says the seed is the word of God. And the results of sowing the seed of the word of God, the results are overwhelmingly negative. You read this parable in Matthew and Mark and Luke, and the results of sowing the seed is that the seed was devoured. It was scorched. It withered away. It was choked. It was taken away. It was trodden down. It's talking about the reaction, the results of the preaching and teaching and sowing of the seed of the Word of God. The results are overwhelmingly negative. And it's because Satan attacks the Word. He attacked the Word in the Garden of Eden. He attacked the Lord Jesus, the Word of God Himself, in the temptation. He attacks today. When the seed of the Word is sown, it's devoured, it's scorched, it's choked, it's withered, it's taken away, it's trodden down. But the real problem is the soil. It's the condition of the heart of men and women and boys and girls. The heart of man is described for us in this parable. The soil of the human heart, Mark said, lacks understanding. The human heart is offended. The human heart is taken up with the cares of this world, with the desires of other things, with the deceitfulness of riches, with the pleasures of this life. That's what this parable is teaching us. First of all, there was the wayside hearer. The wayside hearer. You know, in this day and age, there's not many farmers as there were, I'm sure, in the days of Christ. We get in our cars and we drive down to Harris Teeter and we push a little buggy cart through the aisles and we get our food there. I don't know much about farming. I did live on a farm out in Nebraska once when I was young, but I just go to Harris Teeter. But I do know that the wayside were these little paths on the borders of the fields. And people would walk up and down and up and down the wayside. And the wayside would get hard and harder and harder. And in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." He said a wayside hearer is a hearer who is without understanding. Without understanding. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, "Through faith we understand." Through faith we understand. And in Mark's gospel, in this parable, Satan comes immediately and takes the word. I can remember sowing seed right here on our church grounds. And in the springtime, we would sow seed. And you could count on it. The fowls of the air would come. Sometimes in the spring, I'll sow seed in my front yard, and I can go in the house and look out the window, and the birds are out there. The fowls are out there. That's what happens in many instances when the seed of the Word of God is sown. It falls upon hard hearts, the wayside heart. It's a hard heart. It's that path of the wayside where people have trodden back and forth, back and forth. It's a hard heart. Many people in this church age hear the Word of God and their hearts are so hard that it can't penetrate. The Bible says today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Proverbs says the way of transgressors is hard. And then there was the stony ground hearer. The stony ground hearer in verse 20 of Matthew 13 is he that received the seed, and he hears the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. There are many who hear the seed of the Word of God, and it's something that brings joy to them. It's a prospect maybe of in the sweet by and by going to a place called heaven. That's something that people respond to. Many whose hearts the seed of the Word of God is respond to, they hear the word and they receive it with joy. It was like that in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were many who liked to go out to where this Jesus of Nazareth was. They might get to see a miracle. They might even get to see somebody healed or raised from the dead. Or maybe he's going to feed the multitudes again. They hear the word, and their initial reaction is joy. But it says in verse 21 that after a while, because of the word, tribulation comes along. Eventually the preaching turns to eating my flesh and drinking my blood. And when the reality of the fact that the Lord's life has to become our life, that's offensive. That's offensive. He hath not root in himself, and he doeth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. And then there is the thorny ground hearers. In Matthew chapter 13, it says that those are hearers, those who receive the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word. I don't have any experience in farming. I do have a little rose garden I've planted for my wife over the years. I've added to it. And I can give you husbands a little tip. Don't always remember your anniversary date and remember the color of roses that your wife prefers. My wife, for some reason, red is not her preference of color for roses. She likes lavender roses and purple roses and peachy roses and these really unusual colors. So over the years, I've planted these roses and we've got a pretty good garden of roses now. And the other spring, late one spring day, I brought a couple of new roses, and I got way down on one end of the rose garden, and I found some rocky soil down there, some stones in the soil, and it was getting late in the evening, and I wasn't studying Matthew 13, so I went ahead and put them in the ground. There has not one rose come up on those roses down there. And another time, I planted a rose bush, and it was getting about the time where the blooms were starting to come up. And when I saw them, they were red. And I wanted to go get a can of spray paint and paint them lavender or something. But don't forget your wife's anniversary, and don't forget the color of roses that she likes. But one thing about that rose garden, the thorns and the weeds, they come from everywhere. And it's just a constant battle to keep those weeds and the thorns down. So the Lord Jesus was teaching these people a parable, something that they were familiar with, something that they understood. And in the thorny ground here is those are where the seed of the word of God, it falls upon the heart of men, women, boys and girls. And the thorns spring up and start choking the life out of that seed. The thorns grow up in the life. The lust of other things, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And, you know, the heart of man is such that the cares of this life do choke the word of God. The deceitfulness of riches. We've got to have a newer car. We've got to have a bigger house. We've got to take a vacation. All these things, the cares of this world, they spring up and they choke the life out of the seed of the word of God, and it brings no forth fruit. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then there was the good ground hearer. The good ground hearer are those who hear the word of God and it brings forth fruit in their life. What is the fruit that God is looking for in the life of people? In Galatians chapter 5, we read about that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And joy, and peace, and gentleness, and long-suffering. That's the kind of fruit that God is looking for. And it's only when the seed of the Word of God falls upon the good ground here that those kinds of fruit will come forth. So we see in this parable of the Lord Jesus that it was a turning point in His ministry. When He turned, He went out of the house of Israel. And He sat by the seaside and He turned to the Gentile nations and He started a new kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. But as you read the parable of the sower and the seed and the types of soils, don't miss the personal application. Don't miss the personal application. Because the Bible tells us as believers that we need to be careful how we hear. James tells us we can be forgetful hearers. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We can be forgetful hearers. The seed of God's word can be sown in our hearts and we can be forgetful. There are forgetful hearers. Proverbs talks about wise hearers. A wise son heareth the father's instruction. Hebrews tells us about hearing mixed with faith. The word preached did not profit them not being mixed with faith. There's neglectful hearing. There's diligent hearing. There's ready hearing. There's many types of hearing the word of God. And He warns us of these things. So the wayside hearer is a hearer whose heart has grown hard. The writer of Hebrews says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. But exhort one another daily, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to apply this to our own lives. Our hearts can become hardened. He's talking to brethren in Hebrews chapter 3. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you a hardened heart through the deceitfulness of sin. This is a warning in the book of Hebrews to the holy brethren. Our hearts can become hard. And what happens when the heart is hard? The seed of the Word of God cannot penetrate it. The fowls of the air come and devour that seed. In Romans chapter 7, we read about this law that's in our members. Paul described it as an inner struggle, an inner warfare, warring against the law of our minds, and it brings us into captivity to the law of sin. James, addressing my beloved brethren, says, hearers of the word, and not the doers. Hearers, not the doers, is like a man that beholds his face in a glass, and he straightway forgets. You see, this parable of the sower and the seed is something that applies in your personal life. There can be stony ground. There can be conditions in your heart where the Word of God can't get to its depths. There's no depth. There's no deepness. And it only lasts for a while. And in time of temptation, it falls away. There can be thorns in your lives. You know what those are. Those are so many things that preoccupy us. The cares of this life. The deceitfulness of riches. Thorns can grow up in your life. They can choke the word. The lust of other things entering in will choke the word of God. The cares, the riches, the pleasures of this life. We need to take this parable personally to realize that each of these conditions can be conditions that are found in our lives. Our hearts can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We can experience a shallowness in our relationship with the Lord. There's no depth. The Word of God is not getting deep into our lives and into our hearts and making a difference. We're living on a shallow plane. We can allow in our lives the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. We've got to have more things. We can let those things begin to grow up in our lives and choke the Word of God. Or we can be those who bring forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. In Romans, it says that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The Lord Jesus said, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. So here in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to this turning point. He walked away. He went out from the house of Israel and he turned to the Gentile nations. And for the last 2,000 years, he's been building this kingdom of priests. But that's about to come to an end. The Lord Jesus Christ is about to return. And I certainly hope that if you're here tonight and that you understand the need for your heart to be tender towards the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, to hear it and understand it. The only way you can do that is to humble your heart, to allow God to give you that understanding. Man can't understand. The Bible says there's none that understand. There's none that seek after God. But God is willing and able to receive the humble heart and to bring forth fruit in that life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we've looked into this parable tonight, we pray that we would not soon forget the truth that is represented here. And we pray especially for someone who may be here tonight outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you know our down sittings. You know our uprisings. You know our thoughts afar off. You know the number of hairs on each of our heads. You know us, Father. And you know if there's a soul here tonight who's outside of Christ. And we pray that the Spirit of God would convict, bring conviction to that life. And we pray that they would see the need that they have to turn from their sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And yet, Lord, there are many of us who have done that. We have trusted you as our Savior. And yet, Father, we know that as we walk through this life, there is a struggle. There is this war that takes place within us daily. We thank you for the apostle who said, "I die daily." And we pray that you'll help us, Father, to be those whose hearts are tender towards your word, those whose hearts are hungry for your word, that it might bear fruit in our lives, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. And again, we thank you for this time together to look into your word, and we pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen.